As the opioid epidemic continues to grip our state and nation, there is another population that's being negatively affected by this crisis, the babies born to addicted mothers. A new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention shows the number of women with opioid use disorder who are showing up at labor and delivery units around the country has quadrupled from 1999 to 2014. And that is having far-reaching effects for those mothers and their babies, as well as for our hospitals and our broader healthcare system. Dr. Luke Peterson is an addiction medicine physician at Banner University Medical Center in Phoenix. He also served on the committee that came up with the opioid prescribing guidelines put out by the Arizona Department of Health Services. And he says the biggest concern with opioids in pregnancy is that opioid withdrawal puts a lot of stress on the baby and can cause complications like preterm delivery or high blood pressure problems in pregnancy.
The interesting thing to look at, though, is that opioid addiction in pregnancy alone is not just in a box. These women are at increased risk for a multitude of other problems that can affect their pregnancy. For instance, uncontrolled mental health or being on medications for mental health sometimes affect pregnancy. We also see these women having higher rates of domestic violence, poor nutrition, lack of prenatal care, and all of these things also impact the pregnancy in a negative way.
They always try to get a mother into treatment for her addiction before her baby is born, Dr. Peterson said. But when a mom comes into labor and delivery and she's currently using substances, it changes their approach.
For instance, if a mom comes in to deliver, they're generally in the hospital for 24 hours or longer. By the end of the hospitalization, the mom is going to be in withdrawal. And so in order to provide her with the best care, it is recommended that the mother's withdrawal is treated during her pregnancy, and that also includes during labor and delivery. In those cases, it's recommended that we also do it like a hepatitis C screen, which we don't do in the typical prenatal screen because we want to make sure we're capturing all types of possible bloodborne pathogens. And then we're going to want to make sure that we are surrounding the mom with support in a non-judgmental way so that we can provide her with the best care, but also the best resources so that she can, after she delivers, get the help that she needs to stay successfully in recovery.
On the other end of the problem are, of course, the smallest victims of this crisis, the infants. Neonatal units around the country are seeing more and more infants born to opioid-addicted mothers, and many of them have what's called neonatal abstinence syndrome. Dr. Nathan Lepp is a neonatologist at Maricopa Medical Center. He showed me around the NICU there recently, where there were currently three babies who have NAS who were, for the first time that day, quiet.
Maybe we need you to come back every day just to keep things quiet.
Happy to
volunteer. So, just going to have you before you go in, if you could just clean your nose.
All right, so this is our NICU. And in this part of the NICU, we have 21 beds. All the babies are hooked up to their monitors and being cared over by our specialized neonatal intensive care nurses. We have a range of babies who may be preterm on ventilators. And of course, as we talk, we also have our neonatal abstinence syndrome babies in here as well. We do try and give our babies with NAS the quiet rooms, the private rooms, so that developmentally they aren't subjected to some of the louder noises and alarms that are going off typically all the time in a NICU. And that way they can be quiet and get kind of the developmental care they need and not be overstimulated. You can go look at. So this is one of our babies with NAS in one of his private rooms. And as you can see right now, he's in a little, what we call like a mamaroo. It's a special little chair that the babies with NAS really like. It gives them some motion, sometimes a little music with it. Some of those soothing measures that are really important with babies with NAS, trying to keep them quiet, comfortable, not overstimulated. And then sometimes when they are angry, though, then a nurse will just have to go in and hold them, or we have a volunteer come and hold them and do normal baby things with them, because these are term kids who also want to be interacting, and it's tough in a NICU because that's not what a NICU is designed for.
So where should these babies be? That is a question that Dr. Lepp and the nurses at the NICU there tackle daily. We sat down in his office to talk more about it, and he told me that recent CDC report affirmed what he and other doctors who are on the ground have known for some time. Now it's just there in numbers.
So moms who are using narcotics, whether it be legally or illegally, Their babies are at increased risk for a lot of things. Premature birth is one of them, but certainly the biggest is neonatal abstinence syndrome. And we're seeing just a huge increase in babies who are born drug exposed and having the effects with neonatal abstinence syndrome. Those babies get admitted to the NICU. They often need treatment for a prolonged period of time, from days to weeks. It affects how they do, how they develop. It certainly has a profound effect on the families as well. Because now you have a baby who is stuck in the hospital for a period of time. So it has effects across the board, not just in the short term, but the long term for babies, moms, and families.
So this is a big public hospital. You serve a lot of patients on access. Do you see more of this here than other places, you think?
No, I cover a lot of different hospitals throughout the valley, and it's no more prevalent here than, say, at some of our suburban hospitals or hospitals that don't serve underserved populations. This is a equal opportunity epidemic where it doesn't matter if you're middle class out in the burbs or, somebody who is on access or is lower income. This is across the board. It doesn't discriminate based on income, race, anything like this. This is a nationwide problem.
So let's talk about neonatal abstinence syndrome then. What does it look like? What does it sound like?
It's horrible to watch a baby go through. They are inconsolable. So the things we look for are, they often will have feeding issues. They don't or can't eat. They won't sleep. They're sweaty. They're jittery. They're crying and stiff. And it's painful to watch in babies who are going through this. And that's why we treat them, so at least they can eat and be consolable and do normal baby things. When you see a baby who's going through it, who's really severe, it's heartbreaking because they didn't ask for this and they don't know why they feel this way. And you can't explain to them why they feel this way. And all you can do is hold them and support them and help them through the process. So it is really heartbreaking to watch.
How do you treat it? What's the approach?
So currently, we treat with giving the baby what they need. So they were born having been exposed to narcotics, and the current treatment is giving them narcotics and some other medications we use as well, and then weaning it as quickly as we can to try and get them off it. They're going through withdrawal just like an adult. And in an adult, they're on methadone or something. So same idea. We give that to the baby and then wean it as they let us.
I want to talk a little bit about, is there any science at this point, any long-term studies that show what kinds of results this has? I mean, an infant being exposed to that kind of drug at that young of an age, like you said, their brains are developing. What's the long-term effect?
Yeah, so there's, now that we've had data, unfortunately, for the last several years, there is these children who had NAS now are entering into early childhood and into adolescence. There is data that shows they do have increased risk for behavior issues, developmental issues, learning issues. But of course, there's also protective factors as well, too, home environment, things like that. So there's things that we can do as a community to help these children be the best they can be. So there's a lot of protective factors in terms of early intervention, home environment, things like reading to your kids, home stability, all those things that are good for kids in general are also very important for babies who are going through NAS and have been narcotic exposed.
So I know you're dealing with the baby side of this, but that's obviously very closely linked to these mothers. How do you approach that as a physician? I mean, I know when you have a baby, one of the best things for them is to just be with and on their mother, right?
Absolutely. And it's where kind of some of the nuances, we have moms who are, say, in a methadone program, who are involved. We want them to be involved. Breastfeeding is actually encouraged in this instance. But if you have a mom who, say, is using heroin still and things, that's a whole entire different situation. So each baby, it's hard to just kind of have a blanket conversation about it because each parent, each mom, each baby is a different situation. We certainly want parents to be involved. It can also be very difficult for families because sometimes their extended family doesn't know they're on methadone or don't know that they have a problem, and they have to try and figure out and explain to their family, well, why is your normal term baby still in the hospital? So it creates a lot of difficult and unique situations from a social standpoint that our nurses have to navigate, the doctors have to navigate, and social services is incredibly important when working with these families.
Yeah. So what are the best ways to approach treatment for this population of babies? Like, I know that there are some efforts in other parts of the country and some here even to create sort of specialized clinics for babies who are suffering from this. Why? What's the best situation they could be in?
Well, you know, right now these babies get treated in the NICU, and because that's what we have. But the NICU really isn't the best place for a baby who's, you know, agitated and withdrawing, because the NICU is a busy place, it can be a loud place, the exact opposite of what a lot of these babies need. So there are moves to try and get them out of the NICU into even rooming in with parents, and the parents are in charge of making sure they're consolable. So there's a lot of new models emerging as we kind of look at quality improvement ways to address this issue. So it's really a developing science. It's a developing body of literature, because we've just been dealing with this in the last, you know, 5-10 years. And so it takes a while for people to say, hey, let's try this. Let's see how this works. It's really an epidemic that we necessarily weren't ready for, because it just showed up, and now we have to figure out what's the best way to deal with it.
How long have you been a neonatologist?
A little over 11 years.
So I wonder if there's any sense, like, of the personal toll here. Like, is there any sense with you that this is not what I signed up for?
You know, when I was a fellow in training, you know, we never saw NAS. It was not something you were trained for. None of us were. You know, we were trained to take care of preterm babies, sick babies on ventilators, and now all of a sudden we're having to take care of babies who are going through narcotics withdrawal. And so we've all had to learn that process as well, which is you know, been challenging, because it's a whole different thing than what we anticipated going into this for. And it's also challenging to watch these babies go through this, like the emotional toll. And there's always, of course, a lot of social aspects that can be very frustrating. Some families are fantastic and others are frustrating, and nurses get frustrated, and you just want to fix things, because that's what we're trained to do, is just fix the problem. And this is such a complex problem that it just doesn't have an easy fix. We can't just give a dose of antibiotics to make an infection go away. This is much more complex in some ways. And so it has been, I think, for all of us who take care of babies, a challenge, one that I think even in our nurses as well, our NICU nurses, they didn't anticipate having to do this as well. So I think everyone's had to really kind of come together for these babies, learn what we need to learn, figure out what's going to be best for them, for their families, and how to really provide the best care for these infants.
Dr. Nathan Lepp, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Dr. Nathan Lepp is a neonatologist who works for Mednex and practices at Maricopa Integrated Health System's Maricopa Medical Center. He works with a growing number of babies born to mothers who are addicted to opioids.